but it is wonderful garbage.
It's gross garbage, and I don't want to hear any more of it.
It's flavorful. It's salty. It's got a little bit of zesty tang to
it. The zesty tang is probably tetanus.
You can taste tetanus?
I don't know. Can you? That's a good question.
I know who would know.
Who?
To microbluganism.
Oh, I thought you meant Oscar the Grouch. He's probably riddled with tetanus.
No, he's probably immune to it. That's probably where we got it from in the first place.
Do you have any diseases he must carry around? How come that's never addressed on Sesame Street? The number of diseases that Oscar the Grouch has by living in garbage 24/7.
And reusing old needles.
Yeah. What we don't see is that entire, all of Sesame Street, that entire neighborhood uses his trash can. So when Maria had her baby, it was just like dumping bags and bags full of used diapers directly into his trash can. You know, on Thursday, it was like, it's that time of the month. Tampon time.
Baby shit.
No.
Nothing more yummy than a baby's turds.
Because they were selling the whole idea that garbage was like broken down cars and broken objects, not like wet garbage and grossness.
Like, oh, like the, instead of just regular disposables like tissues, they use flaps of sheet metal to wipe their nose and then threw it in the trash.
Yeah, I mean, he always had like old worn out sneakers and alarm clocks and, you know, dry garbage. But it was never like, last night I fell asleep on Mr. Hooper's unsold produce. And now I'm covered with fruit flies.
You know what? He probably just ended up making a good old cake with it or something.
You know, he smells like the dump, right? Yeah. Oscar the Grouch smells like the dump. And they tolerate him. He's an asshole. He stinks. You probably would catch a disease by touching him, but they tolerate him.
Do we ever get to see him outside of the garbage can?
No, the closest we had for a little while, he had like a garbage man that would carry his garbage can around.
And well, he I always remember, and it might just be my brain contriving this, that he, when he was in the trash can, there was actually a hole underneath that led into the sewer, and he lived in there.
Actually, it's supposed to be like the trash can is supposed to be infinitely bigger on the inside. It's like Doctor Who's TARDIS.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
No, I mean, I know in the books they draw him sometimes out of the garbage can, and he just has like furry gray legs. I think that's a lie. I think he either has tentacles or spider legs or a combination of both.
It's just two giant dicks that he walks on.
I think at night that trash can opens and he's like. Then he kills a hobo, drags it back into the trash can.
Why not? That's what you do when you live on the street. You kill hobos.
That's what really happened to Mr. Hooper.
Oh, man.
They couldn't tell Big Bird.
Eat a prostitute tonight instead.
What do you mean Oscar is actually a demon from another region that killed Mr. Hooper and ate him?
I can't wait for Big Bird to die.
He's... stop it.
Why, because I'm making him into Jeff?
No, it's because there is a performer who performs Big Bird.
Carol Spine. No, Big Bird is real.
No, oh my God. Oh, we're going to have that talk, are we, Atticus? Where the puppeteer has to explain to you how Big Bird works.
There's a big giant bird inside of the big giant bird.
And he sleeps with a teddy bear named Radar, and he has a giant nest, and his best friend or lover is a giant Snuffleupagus. He's a Snuffleupagus called Snuffleupagus. Huh?
Did they make him gay in the show?
No, but it's kind of implied.
That Big Bird is gay?
Has Big Bird ever had a girlfriend?
That doesn't mean anything.
Granted, he's got the mind
maybe
of a 4-year-old.
Maybe he just has the worst, like... Maybe he just has, like, the worst, you know, understanding of females. Like, he just walks up to them and he's like, can I grab your boobs? Yeah. And they're like, that's not... No, Big Bird, that's not the... Okay, can I grab your pussy?
Oh, God.
And then they're like, I'm turning him into Donald Trump.
They're like, no. You're an 8 foot tall yellow bird. You can't grab my pussy.
Well, I have to find a girl who's into that.
Good luck. It's, I bet there is. I guarantee you there's some broken person out there that's like, I won't be satisfied until I'm taken by an 8 foot tall yellow bird.
Or, yeah, or he has a puppet of it in his house.
Oh, why did you turn him into a guy?
Why not?
Women can be weird, too. It's possible. Or not. Fine. In your world, it's a guy who has recreated... Yeah. It's like a horror suit.
It's just filled with his old jizz.
Oh, dude.
You ever hurt, like I said, you ever want to hurt Jason?
Oh.
Make fun of anything Jim Henson did during his lifetime.
Oh, my God. Well, at least we're keeping it within on topic. We've been on... You know how we jump around so much when we talk? Yeah. Ever notice that? We go weird places when we talk.
Mm-hmm. I always bring it to the darkness. That's what I do.
You bring it to the grossness, not the darkness necessarily. Mm. It always winds up in the butt or in the jizz.
That's true.
If you wrote a choose-your-own-adventure, it would be like, Billy pulled back the lever and... If he turned right at the corridor, turned to page 35, and he turned to page 35, up he slipped and fell into a giant puckered asshole. But the other option is, oh no, he slipped down the jizz corridor.
No, I'd have a vagina corridor as well.
Would you put one in there?
Why not?
Okay, cool.
You know.
Did you ever read the Choose Your Own Adventure books?
I read one of them, but then I was annoyed with it. I was just like, fuck this shit.
Why were you annoyed with it?
Because I have to flip back and forth and upside down and shit. And I was like, nah, I'll just read a book that goes straight through the way books are fucking supposed to be.
Now, you know, an audio version of a Choose Your Own Adventure book doesn't really work, does it?
Not really. If they tell you, if you would like to hear X happen... Then go to 3055.
If Billy fucked his grandmother, skip to this time code. If he didn't, skip to this one. If he curled into a fetal ball and cried underneath the bed, turn to this time code.
Ew. Jason knows I take care of the elderly, too.
That's right, you do.
It's gross for you to put it that way.
Put it what way? You don't like the idea of oldies getting it. You're going to walk into one of those rooms and it's going to be like a great big old orgy. It's it's going to look like... Did you ever see the movie Slither?
I have done many residents.
You know the end of the movie Slither where all the townspeople are kind of...
Yes.
That's what it's going to look like.
No, but I have caught many, many residents masturbating. I just walk right out. I'm like, okay, I'll go this way. Hello, sir. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, you're engaged. You're enjoying your golden years, aren't you?
Does that even still work?
I don't stop until mayonnaise comes out.
Oh, but...
Quick, get the bread, Edith! 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 Where's my little sandwich maker?
I actually think it's worse when I catch a female resident.
Why?
Because it's just... They're all, like, pounding away and with a finger and under the covers. It's like, oh, God, oh, no, okay. You can't have that reaction in their face.
No.
You knock on the door and they don't answer and you're like, hello, Mrs.
Hello.
Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, they don't say anything, but then all of a sudden you're like, you peek behind the curtain. You're like, are you okay? And they're like, you're like, oh, okay. I'll come back at another time. And you walk
away.
You just
see everything. And they're like, don't leave.
With that image in my mind, for dude, no,
forever.
They probably don't. You don't know how many times over the years I have been hit on.
Oh, I'm sure.
I have,
and then you walked in on them later, and they're like pounding their poo-paw with a bedpan.
They're like, oh, bed, Jesus, that's
it's
huge.
Like wang, wang, wang.
They're not all. They're made of plastic now, dude.
I like it when they were made of metal.
Cold steel against my butthole.
Yeah. And you could sanitize them pretty good.
No, it's true. I've had my butt grabbed. I've had my package grabbed. I've had them try to kiss me. I've been like, no, that's okay. You don't have to. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
In front of their relatives, like I'm visiting.
No. When relatives are there, we try as hard as we can not to go into the room. We just, you have relatives. I'll come back later.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, I want to show my grandchildren what Mima can do.
What's even worse? It's like, okay, you know, you can smell that their family member has shat in the room.
Yeah.
And I walk in and I'm like, oh, hello, Mrs. Mima. I see you have family here. Would you like to go to the bathroom or something like that? And then the daughter or whatever is like, yeah, I can smell her shit. Like the person's mm-hmm. naughty, like she's not even there. They yeah. just say it like their senile parent still doesn't understand anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I have to clean this person up in the bed because they've already gone. It would make a bigger mess. Take them to the bathroom. And then, can I help? It's like, you want to help me wash your parents' genitals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I do every... I go over to my dad's every Christmas.
And you wash his balls?
Yeah. He doesn't need it, but that's what we grew up with.
No, I mean, I understand that there are some family members who, you know, like, if you're working rehab, the person's only going to be there for a short while. Their family members are normally taking care of this person, so they do that every day. But then it's other people who just come in and they're like, no. I'd like to, wash my sister's pussy.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
I don't want you to help me.
I don't want to wash it.
It's just been one of their fantasies for the. It's just like
when we were
moment.
8 years old. You remember that, sissy?
Oh my god! It's just no. My thought process is that it's been a fantasy for a very long time
to wash your. Sibling?
That's why else would they want to suddenly do it? Like, well, I've never been here before. I haven't visited in the, 3 months that my family member has been here.
I've never been here. This is the first time we've met. We were separated at birth.
Now that they're senile, here's a perfectly good time for me to check out their junk.
Hey, nurse man. If I wash my sister all over, she's so senile, she won't remember, right? She won't tell nobody like the cops.
No.
Get out. Leave the soap. I think that's the darkest fucking thing I've ever said in my life.
I would like 2 razor blades too, please.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need that? I don't know.
Hey, nurse man. Where can I buy horse tranquilizers? Do you have them here? Or do I have to go to Feeding Grain?
Well, we do have a huge stash of trazodone.
All right, bring me that, and then just throw it in the room. Don't look. You'll hear a sound like wet leather. Don't come in.
Oh, my God. Let's start a show.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, and 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let Me Finish 2 Men, 1 Story, 1 Million Interruptions. I am Jason Harding.
And I am Atticus Blake.
And on this show, it's fairly simple. Atticus has 30 minutes to tell a story, and I have 30 minutes to prevent him from doing so. If at any time you hear this sound, that means that Atticus has run out of time and I have won. However, if you don't hear that sound, that means he has won. Atticus? Atticus?
Yeah?
Hey, Addy?
Yeah?
Do you have a story to feed and to scoop into our baby-like mouths? Some pablum-like story that is both nutritious and delicious for our tender bodies and young minds?
I have a story, but it ain't none of that shit.
What is it?
Something terrible.
Oh, no. What is it?
We are continuing to read Picket Fences.
Why are we still reading it?
Because we need one more freaking story. I have all these shorties. And please, I need another longie, or you can send me your life history, and I'll read that. I don't care.
Please, and our suffering and send one more short story to us by going to the Let Me Listen website, going to the contact page and leaving it for us there, he's going to keep reading Picket Fences until we get one.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm crying, Jeff.
Oh, that's good. Crying is good for your balls.
How is that good for my balls?
Well, you drink the tears, and then it realigns your chakras.
What?
And then it makes you cum more.
I didn't realize that you were so into the spiritual chakra bullshit.
Yeah, I've been watching Spirit Science.
Why?
I bought them.
Oh, well, there's other things you can watch that are more exciting than those god-awful, boring, crazy-ass Spirit Science videos.
Like what?
I don't know. There's probably videos out there where girls accidentally get their tops ripped off in public.
Why do I need to watch videos of that when I can make that happen at my will? Listen to me,
what,
Jason.
You got a Jedi mind power that just rips off girls' tops?
No, I just walk right up to them, and I'm like, hey, you want, you know, do the do? And they're like, yeah, and sometimes they're like,
they
no,
think they're going to get a Mountain Dew, and then you rip their top off?
No. I fuck them.
Ring the bell, Jeff.
I did find this other guy. He has wonderfully long, curly hair and glasses, he taught me a lot about how creationism is wrong.
Who was that?
Thunderfoot.
Oh, God. Ring the bell, Jeff!
Okay. Badinga. Chapter 4.
No!
Defenses.
No!
Now, remember where we left off? We had blue balls.
No, I don't give a... Yeah, okay, here's where we left off. Previously on Picket Fences, Mopey McFuckface went to the lake and palled around with the guy he has a crush on, and then the story ended.
No, there's... I'm on chapter 4, and there's like 20
It was
chapters.
Over, then he threw himself off a cliff at the end.
Joshua hadn't seen who had started the fire, but he didn't bother to ask.
He didn't see who started the fire, but he'll mope about it for at least 5 minutes.
You just reminded me that I have to keep doing that voice.
Yep.
The sun had completely vanished 15 minutes prior. That's
Wait
terrible.
A minute. It just
That's
out of the sky?
It just bloop.
And lo, the moon became his blood, and Joshua was finally happy.
How quickly do you think that the Earth would begin flying away from that center of gravity if the sun
instantly,
just...
If the sun just disappeared, yeah. We'd die instantly. Instantly.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, how quickly do you think the Earth... Well, the revolution around the sun at a certain speed. It would be sent off into space. It would become...
Yeah, it would just start traveling in a straight line.
Do you think most of the things would begin orbiting Jupiter, maybe?
I don't know if Jupiter's gravitational pull is strong enough to keep it to draw us into an orbit. It's pretty far away. I do know that the nearby, maybe Mars, probably a couple of the asteroids. Actually, what would probably happen is, and I don't know if they're close enough for this, but Jupiter and Saturn might become mutually attracted, and after several, you know, I don't know how many millions of years it would take, they would probably, you know, be drawn together and form either a supermassive gas giant or maybe, you know,
a new star.
Yeah. I don't know how, and then it would suck up Uranus because it's right there, and it's another gas giant,
and Neptune.
Yeah, and then Mars would become the habitable planet.
What about Venus?
Fuck Venus. Fuck. I think Venus, Earth, and Mercury get flung off into space. Or we become comets of the new star, which is kind of sick to think about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, and a cool wind blew across his skin, causing goosebumps to prickle
Wait,
down.
Wait, what
his arms.
Fire? Now there's wind. There's no sun.
His shorts clung to his legs. He wasn't wearing shorts. He was wearing
pants.
No,
he was wearing pants.
Unwilling to let go, despite the slight uncomfort, that's not a word, caused when they rubbed against his thighs, the insects tuning earlier were now in a full explosion of music.
Oh, good. So they've completely lost grasp of the English language. They're just like, throw words in.
Louder
tuning, that's a word.
Louder than they had been when Ben and Joshua had been twirling underneath the water in the lake. He listened to them intently as he sat close to the fire, fire, attempting to dry his pants as best he could before he went home that evening. See?
Oh, so they change from... That's a miracle. They change from pants to shorts to pants.
The sun disappears and your shorts turn into pants.
I remember that from Revelations. And lo, your pants turn into shorts. And your shorts into pants.
And Joshua will turn into the blood of the lamb. Just a puddle of blood on the ground. Gloria rested beside the boy from earlier, who was apparently named Roland.
Okay. I'm Roland.
This person probably recently read one of the Gunslinger books.
Why do you say that?
Roland is a name that you either hear in some poetry, some random poetry, or I'm sorry, obscure poetry, or from Roland Deschain, the main character of the Gunslinger series.
Yeah, how many Rolands have you met in real life?
None.
Me either.
Roland was close enough now where Joshua could preferably study his face.
Preferably?
Properly.
Preferably?
Preferably, or whatever.
Yeah, preferably is wrong.
Floppy beaster hair? That's what it says. B-I-S-T-R-E, beastre.
That's not a word. Okay.
Beastre hair that needed to be cut surrounded a thin face. You already described what this guy looked like.
Yeah, and it didn't look like that.
His irises were almost black. What kind of drugs was he doing?
Wait a minute. It's nighttime. You're sitting around a fire. You wouldn't be able to see what color those that guy's eyes are.
They would be, well, no, but they would be pinholes because the brightness of the fire would make his irises
collapse.
Oh yeah,
wait a minute. His irises wouldn't have any color at any point.
But a certain jollity? That's a word. Hold on.
Okay, someone took a major break between the last chapter and this one.
Well, I can see the dates online, but I'm not looking at it right. Jollity. Okay. Lively and cheerful activity or celebration. Oh, it's a word. Okay.
Okay.
Remained etched inside his complexion. What? I can't contain all this jollity. It's exploding out of my face like pimples with pus.
Grandma bought me a thesaurus for Christmas.
He hadn't stopped smiling the entire time. Even
who
now,
hadn't? Joshua?
A half smile perched across his lips. Ben and Spencer were the only two not sitting there. They ran circles around the rest of the group, panting and laughing as they played their own game of tag.
How old are these people?
They're in their teens.
Uh-huh.
I think. But if they're sexy sex, they're adults.
Okay.
Their rules allowed sand to be thrown in large handfuls, and occasionally they would stop and try to clear their eyes or spit out of their... They're throwing fucking sand in each other's eyes.
Yeah, they're just running around the fire throwing sand at each other.
Oh, thanks for the
whoever
sand
goes
in the
blind
eyes.
First loses.
Whoever gets a scratched iris.
My corneas!
Yes, a cornea. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Whenever that happened, it allowed the other to jog away, stopping to catch his breath before the chase began. The energy Ben had was endless.
Uh-huh. Like a puppy.
Not once this evening he had shown.
Pump me really hard for a long time. You could pump me and pump me.
If that doesn't happen, remember what I promised.
I'll be your rich strike, and you can be the oil rig.
I just watched. There Will Be Blood the other day.
Oh yeah,
I fucking love that movie.
Isn't it a great movie?
I am a false prophet. God is a superstition. There is no money. I already dug up those wells. Your brother, he was the smart one.
You're turning into Sean Connery.
He kind of does a weird like mixture. I don't know. It's a fantastic performance, but it's just like he's like, oh, my name, and I'm an oil man. Blah blah blah. The spring in his step was still existent, eyes shining jubilantly.
Oh my god, I'm gonna kill this person's grandmother for buying him a thesaurus.
After his game had gone on for a few minutes, he stopped by Joshua, watching Spencer with eagerness as he stumbled yards away. Ben had managed to throw a large clump of sand at him a few minutes before temporarily blinding his opponent.
Oh my god.
Spencer seemed to struggle with being able to see this time. But Ben continued chuckling, why don't you put your eyes into the salt water? That'll help more. Open them up and flush them out with lake water.
Never put salt in your eyes.
Put salt in your eyes. Kill Spencer. Spencer seemed to struggle with being able to see this time, but Ben continued chuckling at his reaction while the pink in his cheeks slowly began to clear up. Joshua
which he couldn't see because the only thing... Oh my god. Okay, I'm sorry, but if anyone has ever sat around an actual fire, it colors everything orange and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no pink in anyone's cheeks. There would be no color in anybody's eyes. I'm sorry. I can't anymore.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
And you will.
I can't.
You guys know that I have, like, lots of secret stuff on Jason. That's why we continue to do this, because I'm blackmailing him.
That's right. This show is not my idea.
for 2 years. Joshua watched Spencer with interest. As soon as Spencer began sprinting again, Joshua felt a hand tug at his penis. A shoulder.
Whoa.
Sorry. Oh. I was like,
I was going to say that. This took a turn.
Come on, Ben yelled, forcing Joshua off the ground. He tripped over his feet, but Ben continued to pull on him, erupting into the same laughter he had been in earlier.
He tugged a laugh out of him.
Wait, erupting into the same laughter he had been in earlier. Mm-hmm. Joshua's shoes, that's S apostrophe, not apostrophe S. Joshua's shoes were abandoned next to the fire, leaving him exposed to the sand. Although the sand was almost cold to the touch, the friction of it warmed up the balls of his feet.
Okay, great. I'm so glad I know that.
They didn't stop running until his feet were burning. The sun disappeared from the sky. Nothing's hot.
Yeah, nothing is hot.
Everything is about to go into almost absolute zero.
I have walked down miles of beaches at night in bare feet. I've run down them. They never got hot. Never.
They were all the way down the shore, where a rope guarded the border to the next lot of land and wouldn't let up for two fugitives fleeing from a crime scene.
What?
It's a visual? I don't know. This way! Oh, wait, hold on. There's why. Ben told him. Ben, wait, Ben is Mopey too, Ben. Right? So I gotta make
this
him
way!
This way! I'm gonna make him Naughty Knuckles. This way!
I'm Naughty Knuckles!
He gestured towards the lake. And even though Joshua
wanted to
protest...
Don't lick the dog's asshole!
And even though Joshua wanted to protest getting wet again, he followed wordlessly. You won't protest something like that. Not with
Let's
not with
hide
Ben.
Grandma's medication.
The sand that had flown with him down the beach turned into nothing but mush. His feet sunk into it, and random blobs of it became wedged between his toes, washed away by the waves of the lake.
What?
The moon's reflection stretched across the lake. The green water was tinted by its milky light.
Okay, anyone who's been outside at night knows that there's about 4 colors to choose from. Green is not one of them.
Joshua could faintly see the outline of trees hundreds of yards away. Hundreds?
Hundreds. Hundreds of yards. Hundreds. Hundreds. He said hundreds, and the lake is green at night.
It's either black or dark blue.
It's not even dark blue. At night, when the moon's out, everything is pretty much, you know, monochromatic. It's differing shades of black, and maybe some shadow if it's really bright.
If it's the 1980s or 90s, it's blue outside. Anyway.
Fine.
They faded away as each second of the night ticked by, falling asleep as their shadowy blanket hid them from the group of kids on the other edge of the lake.
Who's falling asleep?
Now.
Wait, what's falling asleep? The trees? The lake?
I think it's the two boys.
Where? He's squelching through muck or something.
Wait, hold on. Joshua could faintly see the trees hundreds of yards away, period. They faded away as each second of the night ticked by, falling asleep as their shadowy blanket hid them from the group of kids and the other side of the lake.
Yeah, the subject is not... I don't know. I don't fucking care.
The bugs continued to sing their lullaby, although they seemed to be dozing off themselves now. All around them, lights clicked off and families said their prayers. Yet 6 teenagers remained awake. Everything was respectfully quiet as the moon waited for the last goodnight. Joshua had a feeling it would be a while before he said it to anyone.
I don't know. Said something. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore.
Spencer finally met up with him, and Joshua's silent reflection was interrupted by Ben dragging him again. I feel like there was a paragraph somewhere just deleted and he forgot to put it back or
deleted out of their brain.
However, Ben responded too late, and Spencer jumped onto Joshua, pulling both of him and Ben down.
Uh-oh.
Water splashed around them as they rolled and struggled to escape. In the chaos, Joshua forgot where he was and what he was doing, but he did realize that finally he was doing something. He was actually laughing and enjoying himself. Ha ha ha. As he spat out lake water and pushed somebody off of him. It was rejuvenating, suddenly, to be a school kid again.
A school kid again.
He couldn't remember what his sister had squabbled about with him that morning, or how hopeless he had felt last week. How hopeless he had really felt last week.
Yeah, I'm glad I wish we knew.
He forgot about his father's absence and that dumb remark some peer made last month. The world was right for that instant. And even if it was that instant only, he wouldn't mind much. The next thing he knew, Ben and Spencer...
A dick was in his ass.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll listen to this. Here we go. Teenage boys getting it on. I don't even like that, but it's sexy.
A It's hot.
Jeff, let him read the story.
Wait, wait, wait. Ben, did you take an enema first?
Please let him read the story.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Spencer held onto his shoulders and Ben grasped his ankles. And wait, it says, wait. The next thing knew, Ben and Spencer were carrying him back to the fire. Spencer, was he dead? Spencer held onto his shoulders and Ben grasped his ankles and neither would give in to Joshua's joking demands to put him down. You're going into the fire.
Oh, if only.
What did he do? Diana called. Nothing. We just wanted to pick on him, Ben answered. Aw, put that poor boy down, Gloria said. He's older than you, Diana pointed out.
It's not time for the sacrifice.
My original sentence stands firm. Put him down. Ben set his feet down. Joshua struggled to balance himself as Spencer let go too. Come sit by me, Joshua, Gloria said to him. Nah, he'll sit by me today. Ben yanked on Joshua's arm for the dozenth time that night. Dozenth is not a word.
Yep.
Gloria started the conversation, slowly leaning into Roland's arm as they talked. Spencer discreetly held Diana's hand, but neither seemed to care if anyone else noticed. The usual chatter that never left kids filled the air. That's not a thing.
Okay, keep going. Keep going. It's okay. It's all right. This isn't real. None of it is real. None of it.
Can I just rewrite that sentence?
No.
In Addie speak?
Fine.
The usual chatter that never left kids filled the air. Okay, let's try this. The usual chatter that never...
This will sound great. The tapping of the keyboard will be great.
That...
Docking.
Never...
Hello, doggy. I feel the same way.
Left kids' hearts.
So you added one word.
Came out into the night sky and filled the ears...
Our hearts with love.
Of others. With cock.
Our buggers with pew.
With cock.
And balls.
The usual chatter that never left kids' hearts came out of the night sky and filled the... It came out into the night sky and filled the ears of others with cock. There we go. Cock.
Good job. You just wrote that in red marker. Send it back.
F. Joshua began to lose focus, counting the number of times he had tapped his knuckle against his leg and humming below his breath. I love that song, Ben whispered suddenly. Joshua hurtled back down to earth. You don't have to stop humming it, Ben continued. It sounds nice when you do.
Oh my god.
Joshua hadn't noticed how close Ben was sitting to him. It appeared as if Ben wasn't listening to much anyone but Joshua either. That's what it says. When Joshua was 8 years old, his family used to come to this lake weekly. His mother packed a few sandwiches for them to eat when they got there, and Joshua would run to the water and hit his hands against it. It's glass! He could only get his splashes so big before his mother would call at him to stop. After all, his sister was right next to him, and they didn't want to upset Amanda. Amanda had turned three in May. That's what it says. Not in May, but May. Mm-hmm. Joshua would often have to look after her when they visited the lake, since his mother and father were too engrossed in whatever conversation they were having. His mother always told him it was because he was a good, trustworthy boy. Not anymore. Not since she found out he's a homosexual.
Oh. That didn't say that, did it?
No, it did.
She stopped
telling him that when the trips to the lake stopped 2 months after Amanda's birthday.
Which birthday?
Her third, I guess.
Okay.
His mother had explained to them one afternoon that they were going to have a new baby coming in the spring. Just go, get Irish twins, thanks. And Joshua didn't see that lake for the next 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Aww. He had traveled out there with his father when he was 14. His father... You just said that...
Yeah, don't. They're not paying attention. Why should you?
His father told him that he wanted to bond with him more. Uh-oh.
Boy, here we go.
Is this a daddy-son story? Like a literal daddy-son story?
Uh-huh.
And obviously, a fishing trip was in order. Fishing trip. They remained quiet for most of the time. But it was a different type of quiet than what Joshua was acquainted with. It was a serene sort of silence rather than the awkward silence he felt when his father came home and gave a short, "Hi, son." The few words spoken between them were leisurely and kind. Joshua had never felt so in tune with his father before. As long as we don't say anything, Dad, everything's cool.
That's right. You don't ask me if I'm gay and I won't tell you.
And stop trying to put your penis on my head.
Yeah, I know your secret, Dad.
After you had Ben a few times, and now you're trying to groom him for me.
Yeah, and it's starting to work. Well, I mean, it is. It is working. I love him.
And after
Ben's my new dad.
And after they had parted the lake at dusk, they never had another moment. When they left that enchanted lake, Joshua fell asleep in the passenger seat in his father's car. And 3 years later, he did the same in Spencer's black seat.
Gloria, okay, what?
So
they're in the car
he
now?
He was 14 at this time, and now we're adding three more years. That's 17.
He's 17.
Okay, good enough.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Gloria was chanting something unintelligible in the distance, showing no sign of wearing out. No, it's more like...
He said chanting. Chanting means chanting. That's just...
Yeah, but for Gloria,
asylum gibberish. Nays, owe quem enestrium.
No one knows what we're talking about.
Nope. Only the cool kids.
No, just tell them so that they'll rent it.
Monty Python, the Holy Grail. It's good.
Fantastic movie. Although it
it's
ends
one of the best movies ever made.
Ben and Roland danced with her and Spencer in the car? In the backseat
of the
car?
Yeah, I guess. In the car, I guess. Yeah, whatever.
Ben and Roland danced with her and Spencer and Diana snuck off somewhere else.
Snuck off. They were snocking off. He snocked her and then she snocked him.
That's what they call it these days, right, millennials?
They call it snocking.
In the midst of the activity, Joshua was able to slip away and crawl into Spencer's car. The night air was slightly chilly, but soon lulled him to rest. He didn't know how long he had been asleep when Ben found him.
Uh-oh.
"There's Joshua," came his merry voice. It sliced through the tranquility. Through the tranquility blanketing Joshua. His eyes cracked open, taking in Ben's smile as he looked down at him. "We've been looking for you. Time for the sacrifice."
I don't.
"You get inside the wicker man." I need to light a real cigarette.
I don't know how much more of this pointless story I can take.
I want to find out what happens because I'm so mad.
Has anything happened?
Yeah.
It's basically kids hang out and a guy thinks things.
The sun disappeared from the sky.
It's like the person's trying to write a gay Catcher in the Rye, but make it even more pretentious and boring.
Hey, I like Catcher in the Rye.
Fuck that book and fuck Holden Caulfield.
Okay. Anyway.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to fall asleep." "I didn't mean to wake you. I didn't realize you were asleep."
Joshua pushed himself up, rubbing his neck.
Limbs! Oh no!
His limbs moaned as he stretched them out. "Do you want to go home?"
"Do you want to go home then?" Ben asked. "Nah, I'll stay here."
"If you want to leave, we can." Yeah, wait, I keep doing it wrong.
"If you want to leave, we can. It's probably getting late anyway."
Joshua peered over at the rest of the group. Gloria was nuzzled into Roland. Like, she's got her whole head inside of his ass.
Yeah, she's just she's opened up a wound into his side, and she's just pushing her way in.
Like Han Solo putting Luke Skywalker inside of the tauntaun.
Like a tauntaun.
"I thought Gloria smelled bad on the outside." Facing them was a rather sleepy-looking Diana and Spencer, because they just fuck.
"Yeah, they're all tired because he put his dingle-dongle in her hoo-hoo-dilly."
"Fine, then. I'll go round them up."
Ben still didn't look the least bit tired.
That's what cocaine does, kids.
The clouds drifted over the moon. No, they didn't.
Wait a minute. What?
Well, I guess if the sun disappeared and the atmosphere were being pulled away, then yes, I guess the clouds would drift over the moon. And the clouds
either that meant
over
that there
the
are
moon.
Clouds on the moon, or...
Well, the moon does take a portion of our atmosphere. A lot of people don't realize that, but it's a small portion of it.
Very small.
The clouds drifted over the moon, making the road considerably darker as they drove down it. Because we didn't have fucking headlights or anything.
Yeah, we didn't know what they were for.
How do you turn these on? Oh, we'll just turn them on and off and make sure that we'll just hope it gives the next driver an epileptic seizure. All conversation had ceased. They all instead patiently waited for their destination. And they patiently awaited their destination. When they arrived at Joshua's house, he trudged towards his house, holding his shoes in his right hand.
House.
his pants were still damp.
I love it when someone reuses the same word in two consecutive sentences.
No, they're separated by commas.
But, oh, okay, so he used the word twice in one sentence.
And tucked his untucked shirt, and his untucked shirt billowed around him. But everything stopped, moving as he shut the front door behind him. The hum shut of the Spencer's front door. Car died away.
Dried away.
Because there was no atmosphere anymore. Joshua made his way up the stairs. He strained his eyes to see that the clock in his room read 12:35 p.m.
Instead of turning on the light in his room, which is something that people usually do when they enter their room.
Yeah, but you gotta forget there's green light coming into his room.
Oh, that's right, girl, yeah.
It was fortunate that they hadn't run into anybody else. Perhaps that was the effect this town had on everyone.
What?
It had always been a weary place, and maybe everyone was too leisurely for their own good. Joshua,
there's a difference between leisurely and weary.
Leisurely, I mean, it means something completely antithetical to weary, doesn't it?
Yeah, weary means you're worn out. Leisurely means that you're carefree for the most part.
Acting, done at leisure, hurried, relaxed. Relaxed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can be relaxed and weary at the same time.
Oh, I'm so tired that I'm relaxed.
You can be weary and complacent, or you can be leisurely and complacent.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joshua didn't seem to mind as he collapsed onto his bed. After all, he was exhausted too, and sometimes it was okay to ignore responsibilities. What responsibilities had he ignored?
Oh, well, you know, someone has to go up to the attic and clean the uncle.
So no policemen were ever on patrol. That wasn't ever his problem. After everything that had been...
What the fuck is he...
I don't know.
Until now, he starts thinking about cops when he's home, in his bed. Not when he's at the lake, when you would think, I hope the cops don't come and make us go away. He's thinking about it now.
After everything that had been piled on him in years past, it was okay for him not to care for once. Chapter 5.
What?
Amanda wasn't an enemy to Joshua.
Another thing that happens to Joshua where we don't care.
Don't forget, I gotta read the comments after 2.
Please don't. It's the same 3 people.
No, it isn't.
Love the imagery. I can't wait to hear more of this.
It doesn't matter. Amanda wasn't an enemy to Joshua, but their relationship
this
was...
This story made me bleed out of my soul. I rub parts of this story and shit, roll it up into balls, and stick it in my hair.
It's a good styling product.
I scream this story from my rooftop until the police come and take me away.
I have it memorized. All 25 horrid chapters.
I carved the first paragraph into my mother's back.
Oh, you took it from me. I was going to say, I have the whole thing tattooed in Unicode on my butt. Amanda wasn't an enemy to Joshua, but their relationship was consumed by many conflicted feelings.
Oh.
Get out of bed, she murmured to him the next morning.
Bad.
Come on, idiot. Mom is going to start asking questions. Joshua's eyelids refused to obey and remained glued together. Dude, just fucking come on. It was as if they were glued together. That would help.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They remained glued together.
Yeah, they're glued together. He glued them together while
and
he was
the
asleep.
The sun disappeared from the sky, and clouds went over the moon. and his pants disappeared, and shorts were in their place. Her words slowly dissolved in his ears, and his brain scrambled to make sense of them. The echo of a low tide far away consumed her words. Joshua, what? I'm only trying to protect you. She's going to ask questions if you don't get up.
I'm awake, he mumbled. I'll be down in a second.
Be glad I woke you up. The gratitude shown to her came in nothing but silence. If one performed a favor to the other, their payment was to keep out of the other's way to do something for them later on. It had proved effective in the past. One reason his mother never got upset at him for staying out so late was due to Amanda waking him up the morning after. If he overslept, it was sufficient evidence for a late arrival back to the house. Not the fact that he came in late and slammed the fucking door and went upstairs.
Yeah, and then trudged up the stairs. Yeah,
and then the green light consumed him.
Yeah.
And therefore, something to discipline him for. Amanda always covered for him, just as he covered for her when she got into some scuffle at school, or was dared to kiss a boy behind the oak tree near the schoolhouse.
Wait,
is it the same oak tree that he used to hide in, away from Ben?
Yeah,
What did you dream about? Amanda asked him after he dressed and headed downstairs.
Because she just hung out in the doorway, watching him get dressed.
An ocean.
A what?
An ocean? What for?
I don't choose my dreams.
Amanda bit her bottom lip. It had become a habit of hers.
Great.
Have you ever...
No one else bites their bottom lip.
Have you ever been to an ocean?
I've never been outside of Indiana.
Amanda's teeth slid off of her lip. Her mind was reeling for something she was...
Onto the floor.
They were dentures. Her teeth had been knocked out by her mother. That would be more interesting than anything else that has occurred.
The radiation was finally getting to us.
Her mind was reeling for something she was unsure was a good thing to say. Okay. She was often told that her comments and questions weren't necessary. Joshua admired her dedication to changing often.
What? I don't. It does. You won't get an answer.
Yeah, but my mind isn't. It's not going to change my personality. Yeah. No matter how many times you shout, "Don't," I'm still going to do. Don't think of purple elephants. He hadn't noticed he was muttering numbers under his breath as his fingertips touched various squares on the tablecloth. The questioning look Amanda sent him caused his fingers to stop, arching slowly at his knuckles and anticipating the moment they could begin again. She sighed. He was glad he decided what she wanted to say wasn't appropriate. Joshua's whereabouts was the first thing his mother decided to discuss as they all sat down for breakfast.
We went to the lake.
Who's we?
Gloria, Ben, Diana, Spencer, Roland, and me.
She sucked in her cheeks. Who does that? Nobody does that. Joshua counted the breadcrumbs on his plate. I haven't heard of some of these kids.
Fucking hate this story so much.
I love ya.
I fucking hate it. I hate this.
There was a vague emotion in her voice. Some condescending.
A vague emotion.
Some condescending. If it's condescending, it's not vague. It's
yeah,
very
if
obvious.
You can identify it, it's not a vague thing.
Behind some sociable interest. It's okay. We just went to the lake. Oh.
We didn't fuck or nothing.
I simply finger banged myself.
Yeah, I did it.
And
in
Gloria,
front of everybody.
And
they
Gloria
videotaped
put herself
it.
Deep inside. The wounds of Roland.
She poked her head out and pretended to be Quado, you know, from that movie. Was a Total Recall.
Joshua.
We laughed a lot.
What time did you get back? A few minutes before 11, Amanda interjected. I had trouble staying asleep last night. I heard him come in. Have we ever gone to the beach? Joshua peered at his mother. Her fork twirled between her fingers. No, dear. Uh-huh. Why are you asking?
Where is the other child?
I don't know. They're dead. They were the sacrifice. Anyway.
Okay.
No, dear. Why are you asking? When I did to sleep, I had a dream about one.
When I did to sleep.
Just the effect.
Mommy, I had a stroke last night.
Just the effect of summertime, probably. Yeah, Amanda answered, making eye contact with Joshua. When breakfast was over, Joshua sat on the step leading to their back door. Oh, I know what kind of back door you really want.
Yeah, we know. But also, fuck this story, and oh my god, please let something interesting happen.
Okay. When breakfast was okay, I already read this. Am I bothering you?
No.
Yes.
Would I be bothering you if I asked about your dream again?
Why are you so interested in something so silly?
It's not silly, it's interesting. She became quiet.
Interesting?
I'd like to study dreams, I think, she said. But
that's a pointless endeavor, but okay.
That's not a very scientific field, is it? I suppose I'd be better off just to marry and have children.
Yes, because that's the only use for a girl in this century.
That's right. Whatever year it's supposed to be.
I don't see why you couldn't.
I told Mom once. She said I couldn't play God. Besides, I'm only a girl.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where are they getting money?
She puts Joshua on the street corner with his pants down.
That's the only thing I could think of, yeah. Where Mom's doing it.
Mm. Joshua exhaled loudly. Affection was something he'd never quite understood.
Oh my god, I just realized who they are.
Who are they?
They're the family from the Aristocrats.
Wait, so why? Why? You mean the joke?
A mom, a dad, a sister, and a brother. That's how they make their money. They're the performing family in the Aristocrats jokes. That's why he's so upset.
He would give her his entire dream, but to understand it without judging his own character seemed rather daunting. Instead, he told Gloria later over the phone.
I was on a beach, he explained, and to the left of me was a girl, far off. To the right was a boy, only he was a bit closer.
Yeah?
The girl was waving at me and trying to get my attention, but I was staring at the boy.
Subtle metaphor here.
He looked at me once and smiled, but otherwise he continued to watch the waves of the ocean.
And?
looked at the ocean and that was it.
Positively enigmatic, she sighed.
No, positively as boring as shit, just like everything that's happened in this story.
What?
What?
Strange. That's not what enigmatic means.
Nope.
Should I define it? No.
No, we know what enigmatic means.
I don't
think it's anything much, Joshua added. Just something about it stood out to me, but I can't figure it out.
Maybe it's how there's nothing too interesting about it.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
There was a silence. An image of Gloria twirling her hair around her finger faded into his mind.
While fucking a sheep, while on fire, on the space shuttle, drifted through Joshua's mind.
She was scrounging for something to say.
Okay.
Are you sure
that's all?
If there's anything else, I forgot.
There was something else. It bothered Joshua, even when he couldn't name exactly what happened. It was something that felt dirty. He couldn't decipher...
It was the fact that his father's face was on his penis.
He couldn't decipher the strange pool of thoughts in his head and make it sound all right when explaining it to Gloria. It remained untold. What are you up to today, Josh?
Amanda wants me to fill pans up with water and put our feet into them.
That sounds relaxing. Mind if I come over?
I don't see why not.
Neat. I'll be there at once.
Neat. Neat. Neato. We're filling pans with water and putting our feet into them. That sounds awesome. Do they not have television in this town?
No.
Okay.
The receiver clicked. The fabric of his couch was uncomfortably warm against the skin revealed by the way his shirt rested against him.
Uh-huh.
The further summer progressed, the more the humidity increased. He suspected the clouds were heavily saturated now and waited for the moment when one of them broke and let the velvety blanket of rain pour down on them now.
Fuck you.
For now, it seemed to be a test.
The velvety blanket of rain. Velvety. The velvety blanket of rain.
For now, it seemed to be a test of endurance, and the only losers were in the inhabitants of the small town of The only losers were the inhabitants of the small Indiana town the sky lazily hung over. Joshua, are you in there? His mother's voice came from the back door. Is he outside and she's asking if he's in?
Yeah.
He rolled off the
couch.
Are
you in me yet?
He rolled off the couch sluggishly.
Yeah.
Did I tell you your father is coming home today? It was time for him to pause. His mother was noiseless. He began to wonder if perhaps the heat was causing him to imagine things.
Where'd you hear that?
He called me from the shop today. He snorted.
Figures.
He mumbled to himself. In years past, when he came home, he would have a present in one hand and an excuse in the other. For some reason, his father's business trips had always seemed to last longer than all the business trips of other fathers of other kids went on.
It's a sentence.
They'd be home within days, but they rarely brought anything back. Joshua never let it bother him when his father returned after mysteriously dropping off the face of the planet. The gifts he received always helped him to forget that each trip he took, the less he called home. It was sort of a side-handed apology, but since his father never paid Joshua mind to begin with, that present was the best thing he ever did all year.
Uh-huh.
One year, the trips got longer. The phone calls stopped altogether, and when he came back, there was no present to be seen. He just said that every year this guy did this.
Yeah, the author is an idiot and doesn't pay attention to what they're writing.
Joshua's mother used to cry at night. Good. I love her sorrow. I love it. I want to lick her salty fucking tears.
Mm-hmm.
But the next morning, she would praise God for the support her father gave all of them when he sent home a paycheck. You married your father. That's what happened.
That's what they just said.
Joshua couldn't help but wonder how his father ever sustained himself. His mother's footsteps approached the living room. Aren't you happy?
Sure I am.
He pulled his arm away from the couch. Comb your hair, she said. I want you to look nice.
It's only my father.
You could at least treat him with respect.
I never said I wasn't going to.
Joshua answered, standing up.
I just don't think he would care as much if my hair was out of control or not.
Just comb.
Or if I was bald. Or if I was on fire.
Like last night.
I was on fire for Ben!
She turned her back against him and stepped into the dining room.
Hello, father. I stuck a knitting needle in my urethra.
Mom, he called.
Notice me.
All the way down to the bladder.
And then...
At least I know I don't have gonorrhea.
It went through from my bladder into my anus, and now I pee through my butthole.
I've punctured my colon, and I'm infecting my internal organs now.
She didn't reappear.
Gloria's coming over for a little bit at one.
There was a distracted silence. Okay, dear.
What? A distracted silence?
He counted the stairs again as he climbed up them. He counted the number of times he stroked his hair with his comb. He counted the number of stakes he made up the fence surrounding their house until Gloria's checkered dress broke the drowsy spell he was under. I'm here, Joshua, she called.
Said the dress.
And just the dress. She called out. She called to his window. He hurried downstairs. The numbers in his head were faster this time. Little vomit burp. Yeah, anyway.
That was the best part of the whole story. I'm surprised the author wrote that.
Amanda was already in the backyard when Joshua and Gloria arrived. Is she going to cool her feet off too? Yeah, Gloria told her. Do you mind?
Oh, God.
Sure, I don't. She pushed the pan towards her. The three of them sat on the step of the back door, sweat rolling off their forehead. Their feet, however, was temporarily relieved from the torturous heat.
For about 5 seconds,
there's only one foot amongst them, though.
6 feet inside of it. There are 6 feet inside one pan of water.
Jason, you have to read it literally. Their feet, however, was temporarily relieved from the torturous heat. Did Joshua tell you about his dream last night? Amanda asked Gloria.
Oh, fuck these kids.
She ignored
them. Fuck them. Oh, my God. Who gives a fuck about his stupid dream?
Maybe. Why do you ask? He wouldn't tell me.
I'm surprised a reporter doesn't show up. I'm from the Indiana Gazette. We hear that a boy here had a dream about the ocean.
Yeah. The rest of it was dicks.
We'll have to report that to the Council on Homosexuality. He was on the phone with you later. So I figured he would tell you. He didn't tell me much, just that he had a dream about a beach, that's all. I heard something about two people. Amanda.
Amanda!
Joshua exclaimed. Didn't Mom tell you to stop eavesdropping? Amanda shrugged her shoulders, but her eyes rolled in careless annoyance. When do you care about what Mom says, Mr. I come home at midnight?
Wait a minute. Did you hear what that person just wrote?
What?
Careless
annoyance. I know.
You can be careless, but you can't be annoyed. Because if you're annoyed, it means you care. You can't be carelessly annoyed.
Oh, jeez. Always, Gloria interjected. There are two people on a beach and that was it. Amanda made a skeptical face. Her wide cinia eyes burned into them, searching through
what?
Him for an answer.
Her what eyes?
Cinia. I think he means sepia.
Or sienna.
Oh, sienna. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
when she gave up, Amanda said, our father's coming home today. How exciting, Gloria chirped. How long has he been gone for? Somewhere around a month, she answered. I haven't seen him since before school was out. Oh my, what does he sell? Machine parts, I think. I wouldn't think that would be too long to sell, would it? Maybe they'd have to...
Yes, children, that's right. That's right. You all know all about business, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. Of course.
They at the school they're at, they learn how to retread tires, dude. Joshua felt uneasy as they continued bouncing back and forth. He wanted to ask why the factory wouldn't already know why parts they needed. That's what it says.
Shut up. Shut up, you moron. You fucking moron.
He wanted to disprove their thinkings and make suggestions of his own that seemed much more plausible. However, speaking up was something he preferred to avoid, and he let them battle it out in the exceedingly high temperature in peace. His father had a well-sculpted jaw that compensated for his rather beady eyes. The rest of his face seemed rather ordinary. Rather. This was Dan
Rather.
And
it was
Rather.
Also Rather. It was Dan Rather.
Dan Rather. From CBS News. The rest of his face seemed rather ordinary, but it was that jaw and the light brown hair that rested on top of his head that made him strangely alluring.
Okay. Who's describing him now?
He was so handsome, Joshua's mother said, and he still is. You look a lot like him, you know. Joshua never found that much of a compliment. He never thought he looked like him anyways. Gloria was invited to stay for dinner. She was one to accept invitations quickly, without thinking, but this time she has Her sky-colored irises flickered towards him, searching
Holy
for an
shit.
Answer.
Fuck you and your obsession about eye color. You only need to state it once in the book.
But the millennials, they're just, like, obsessed with, like, the souls in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he shrugged his
her
shoulders.
Her eyes, the color of Smurfs.
The color of Smurfs. Her eyes were a beautiful shade of shit brown.
Uh-huh.
Not the kind of brown you get when you have diarrhea, but the kind of black you get when you take Pepto-Bismol.
Stop. Ah.
Or when you've been swallowing copious amounts of blood.
That
taste good.
What tastes good?
He shrugged his shoulders, which cued her over to answer. I'd love to. She readjusted her hair in the bathroom and took her place next to Joshua at the table. A few years prior, she had informed her parents that every time she would stay out later than expected. But nowadays, that's what it says, but nowadays remained anyway for as long as she pleased and dealt with her parents when she came back.
Great, so the story's now in present tense?
I guess. They seemed, okay. They all seemed to stop caring after this handful.
I stopped caring after the second sentence in chapter one.
Okay, anyway, the entire family plus Gloria waited in a tense atmosphere for Joshua's dad to enter the door. His mother attempted making...
Wait, to enter the door or to enter the doorway? You can enter a door, I suppose.
It's like this. Daddy's home. Hi, everybody.
I've kind of half-faced through the door.
I forgot how to turn the doorknob. Teach me again, kids.
His mother.
This really hurts, Daddy.
His mother attempted making small talk, but that was soon forgotten about. That was soon forgotten about as they heard the car door slam. Joshua Boom. Flexed his finger. Didn't he already walk into the door?
No, they were waiting.
Joshua flexed his fingers, murmuring numbers under his breath, and his father grew nearer and nearer. Each second grew heavier than the last. He could hear the ocean again in his ears from his dreams last night, but something was ominous about it now. His knuckles rapped against the table at varying speeds, and suddenly the thickness of the air was slashed in half as the front door opened. Daddy, came the voice of Joshua's brother. The 9-year-old jumped from his seat and ran to him. His dad clasped the top of his head, rubbing his dark brown hair until it stood on end. Where's the rest of you? Oh, that the dad's saying this. I don't
know. I lost my legs, Daddy.
Where's half of my...
I lost them. I can't find them.
Well, remember, there was only 1 foot in the pot, so...
Where's the rest of you?
They're all... Miss the rest of me? Miss Hester Moffat? They're all ready to eat. It was amazing to go...
I hope you've been cooking them long enough.
It was amazing to Joshua how much his voice seemed to change in just a month. What? It's a lot lighter than it had been the month when he left. Joshua's hand unclenched, just like his butthole. His father entered the room, filling the arch that connected it to the rest of the house. He was dressed semi-formally, his hair brushed into a perfect position, and a cheeky smile spread across his face. How's my family doing? A lot of things have happened, Amanda started immediately. How come you never call? I wanted to tell you about what Phyllis...
Joshua had a dream.
I wanted to tell you about what Phyllis Redinger was doing last month, but I never... She was cut off by my gentle shushing... That's what it says. She was cut off by a gentle shushing from their mother. Welcome home, Wilbur. That's the fucking guy's name.
Wilbur. Wilbur.
There's only a little bit left, Jason, I promise.
Wilbur.
Hour 3.
Wilbur?
Wilbur.
Run, Wilbur, run.
The guy's name is Wilbur Peters.
Wilbur Peters.
He sat down at the end of the table. Gloria greeted him with a kind, "Hello, Mr. Peters. Is that you, Gloria? It's been a long time, hasn't it?" "Sure has. I'm glad you're back." He combed his hand across his head before holding it out. "Well, we should say grace then." Wait, he wrung his fingers through his dirty-ass hair and he's like, "Shake my
through
hand."
Through his hair and then shaked her hand. Yeah.
Gloria's hand was soft inside Joshua's palm. It soothed him, if only lightly. "I don't know why you ignore your father so much," Gloria said to him, her skirt feathered across Joshua's bedspread.
"Oh, I guess dinner's over."
Yeah, I guess. She propped her chin up on her fist. Joshua rolled on his back, landing lightly against the mattress.
I don't ignore him. I just choose not to talk.
Either way, you could be nicer. You act as if he beats you or something. He sighed and got to his feet, running his finger across his windowsill. Always quieted whatever thoughts rushed into his head.
"He's not horrible to me," Joshua said. "He's not great, but he's not bad either. He's kind of absent."
But that still doesn't give you any excuse to ignore him.
"I know."
Really?
Wow, what a surprise. The big thing that they were setting up about their father, it's just boring shit. It's just a big bunch of boring shit. He's not an abuser. He just happens to work all the time. Fuck this. Fuck it.
Really, what has he ever done to you? It wasn't necessarily a matter of what his father had done to him, but Joshua couldn't...
You know what this story is? He heard a noise in the woods. He got closer, and it was a neighborhood dog.
So this is technically more blue balls than the last one.
This is blue balls about everything in the story.
There's no rising action.
There's no anything.
It's getting late, isn't it? Wait.
It's getting late, isn't it?
Joshua Peters, are you trying to kick me out? He turned to look at her, but only grinned in response. She threw a pillow at him. Fine, I'll leave. I might not come back, though.
I have a hard time believing.
That's where it stops. Not, I have a hard time that.
That.
With mock shock, she went to his door.
Mock shock. Mm-hmm. Mock shock.
Like, it's
from the makers of
Malk.
The real deal.
Malk balls. She went to his door and announced, I will be walking down the stairs and I will never, ever look back.
Goodbye, Gloria.
Never looking back, she exclaimed again. Joshua listened to her footsteps fade away before crossing back into his window. A light breeze had picked up, swishing her skirt around
Another
her
breeze.
Legs.
This person loves breezes and eye colors.
She only made it out of their front gate before she craned her neck around to look at Joshua's window.
She flashed him.
You looked back.
Force of habit, she shouted in response. She left him with his amused snickering, drowning in the orange light that engulfed the street. End of that.
That awful shit.
Wait, I gotta read the comments.
Fuck the comments. I'm editing them out.
Nope.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, go.
All right, hold on. Chapter 4. Comments.
Let's see. Anita Fuzzy Knickers said, I got my menses.
By Bridget Flying Kickapow.
Fuck you.
I probably sound like a broken record. Just, yeah. I love all the detail, and it's so engrossing. I love that moment where Joshua is having so much fun that he temporarily forgets about everything else. You describe it so well.
I love that part that's impossible, the thing that happened.
You describe it so well, it's really a nice moment. Alicia.
I roll up this story in paper, and I cram it in my pussy.
I smoke it. Alicia, laugh. Nah, he'll sit by me today, Ben. Yeah, he's just quoting on it. Ugh, Ben is
Why?
So cute. I love him. And Josh, wow. The only issue I have
Josh,
with this chapter
wow.
is the
I
flow.
Don't even describe what's about him. Wow is enough for everyone to get my point across, isn't it? Just wow. That could be like, wow, what an awful character. Or wow, I can't believe someone wrote this. Or... Oh. Wow, I just wasted 20 minutes of my life. Never getting it back.
The only issue I have with this chapter is the flow between what's happening in the narrative.
My legs.
Then the flashback. I think it's a really important moment. I like what happened, like, and like that happens here. While he's at the lake, but if you ever edit, I would just work on the transition. But as Bridget said, amazing details. I love the feeling this chapter has. You capture it very nicely.
There are no amazing details. There are gross descriptions. There's no such thing as transitions because parts of the story just fucking end and all of a sudden they're somewhere else.
Yep. Okay, now let's go to the second, another one.
Oh, Flying Kickapow says,
yay.
I swallowed a
Yay, write more now. All caps. Alicia laughs. Gloria and Josh's friendship is really cute. I like how differently they still have a great dynamic and they seem to care about each other, although Joshua seems that he doesn't
because
care.
Because the author forces it to. This author has not established the reason why these two people are friends. They just happen to be in the same room together because the author forces them to. There is no explanation about Josh's feelings towards Gloria, just descriptions of their relationship as it plays out physically. You hack. You are a hack person. You are just trying to get a hand job from this author because you're both in sixth grade together.
Also, maybe the thing I can't place in his dream is the fact that, oop, he's really gay for Ben. But in all honesty, I love the way you hint toward that. It's wonderful. Just fucking say it. Seriously, if it were me writing that, I would have been like, I would have said something like, Joshua had a secret. No, I wouldn't even say it. Joshua knew only to himself that he was gay and didn't tell his friends or relatives. And then
you would think by the time he's 17, he'd probably would have figured it out by now.
Yeah. Ooh, another thing I like is how you subtly showing how Josh probably has some form of mental illness, maybe OCD or some type of anxiety.
There's nothing subtle about it, and the worst part about it is that it actually doesn't go into the psychology of the mental illness as being portrayed.
I'm really interested.
They're just a series of quirks.
I'm really interested to see how that plays out, especially since it's set in the 1950s. People were complete idiots about mental health.
Unlike you now, because you're a genius.
Yes, Alicia. The first person I'm going to come to about mental health is a 17-year-old kid.
Who's reviewing the work of another 17-year-old kid.
Yeah. Colby. Love. That's all it says.
Colby's running out of steam. The next one will just be...
Okay.
Colby, love.
All right.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Fuck you.
You love me. Don't forget about those photos I have.
Thanks, Atticus.
You're welcome.
Thanks, guys, for listening. Hey, please. I'm holding the microphone with both hands now. Please,
like a big,
in the
giant
name
cock
of
in his hands. It was
fucking God. Please, in the name of everything. Someone just type five sentences together. No, doesn't even need to make enough. Sense.
It has to be.
Shut up, Anakin!
I want a full story from a listener. We haven't gotten one in a while.
Someone please send us a story. I can't take picket fence as much longer.
Jason, we are finishing the story.
Fuck you! Okay, I'll talk.
Did you go to iTunes?
No, did you?
No, I'll do it now.
All right, hey, while he's checking iTunes, this is my opportunity to say, oh, fuck this story. Please send us something, anything. But if you guys go to iTunes and you leave us a written review, it really helps the show out a great deal. And then we take your name and we say it here on the podcast, and then we welcome you into the pantheon of gods. Those people, so awesome that they left us a written review on iTunes. And sometimes we get them, and sometimes we don't.
Like today.
Some...
I can hear him crumbling to pieces as we speak.
So please go to iTunes and leave us a written review.
No. Just keep him in misery, guys. It's fine.
It's not fun. Anyway, thanks for listening, you guys. And let me finish. This has been Jason Harding.
So much blue balls. Just so much blue.
My balls are so blue, they're black.
I don't care if Ben comes into the room with a fucking broom handle that has splinters and starts ramming it into Joshua's asshole. Make something happen.
Telling you right now, it's that kind of story. Set up something, oh, and it turns out to be boring. I'm telling you right now, if he walked in with a broom handle, he would be like, look what I found. Let's whittle it and make a puppet or something stupid like that.
Let's kill Gloria with it.
No, that's too exciting. Gloria would be like, oh, neato, a puppet, can I come over?
Are you trying to stake me? I hope it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Say goodbye.
Hayden, you're a gold. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. The Lemmy Finish podcast is a Lemmy Listen podcast production with Atticus Blake and Jason Harding, with music by Kevin MacLeod. Produced by Jason Harding. You can find more Lemmy Listen podcasts at our website at www.letmelistenpodcasts.com. You can also find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, and iTunes. Please like and leave a review. And thank you for listening.